This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nahl, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَجَعْلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extracted you and brought you out of the womb of your mothers, la ta'alamuna shay'a, knowing nothing. Nobody came to this world with knowledge, including the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they come to this place, they had zero knowledge, except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them afterwards. So Allah is referring to us. He says, لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. Allah granted you the hearing and the seeing and the heart. And these are the most important senses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave human beings, which we use to acquire the knowledge and to be able to apply it properly in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So what I want you to understand is, the path you are taking is the best path. If you to observe the best of manners in doing the right thing, you will be considered like the predecessors, being the best in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as you do the right thing. Wallahi, my dear brothers, it says there is nothing similar to the knowledge. It's the greatest deficiency for a person to remain as ignorant. Musa alayhi salam was speaking to the Jews, the children of Israel. And the speech was so excellent. Musa was a very powerful and excellent speaker. And the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were like that. So he gave them that speech and it was so excellent. In the way somebody asked him, they told him, do you know somebody who is better than you in terms of knowledge? The answer was supposed to be yes. Because even if you can't see somebody from amongst the human beings who knows more than you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there. And this is a very good, you know, subhanAllah, reminder by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of us. And maybe that's why it is recommended for us to read Surah Al-Kahfi every Friday, because it contains so many lessons. This story of Musa alayhi salam, this one in particular, has so many lessons. I remember one of our great scholars, he extracted, and he is also trying to summarize the virtues of this story, not less than 36 lessons that we can get from this story of Musa and Khidr. Musa was supposed to refer the knowledge back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he made a mistake. He told the questioner, he told him, no, that is nobody. He asked him, do you know somebody who knows better than you? He said, no. The answer was supposed to be, yes, there is. At least Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. Allah says, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. And subhanAllah, in this life, there is always somebody who knows better than you. Nobody on earth knows everything. This is what is supposed to be in your mind, although we see the opposite. When you are studying, you're very humble. You go for the masters, your arrogance starts to increase. You become a PhD holder, you become untouchable according to the way you see yourself. The salam you have been saying to people when you meet them, now you don't say salam. Friends, you don't take them as enemies, but you reduce the interaction between you and them because of the title you have. That's arrogance that we have. And the people who used to be humble, but now they are in the authority, they become very, very arrogant. Knowledge is supposed to make you humble. Knowledge is supposed to make you humble. And always you should remember that there is somebody who knows better than you. You Allah. And that's the only way for you to benefit. We have heard a lot in the classrooms, when a student tells the teacher, that what you have mentioned need to be fixed in a humble way, in a nice way. But then the lecturer or the teacher will be very sensitive concerning that matter and will take this as a means of disrespect by the student, which I see is a favor, is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you to be in the presence of a student who reminds you when you're wrong. In the past, subhanAllah, when humbleness and humility was there, you see some of the muhaddithun, they narrate the hadith. In the narrations, rather than saying haddathana fula, he will say haddathani tilmidhi, anni qad haddathtuhu. Subhanallah. He will say, my student told me that I told him. You know, the sheikh even forgot what he told the student, and now the students are telling them. When he comes to narrate this hadith, he will refer to the student, that the student said, I once told them this. That's the days of humility. They're learning from each other, which we don't have this now, nowadays, except in few instances. Wallah, I see it as a blessing for you to have amongst your students somebody who is very knowledgeable and is capable of fixing you. And you don't know. Many times you have been teaching people, some of them, they're more qualified than you. Actually, you don't even deserve to be your student, especially in the universities. Yeah, some of them are just there because they study in a very conservative way. So they want to have a job, and you know you need to present certificate for this job. So he's just here in the university to get that, you know, certificate, not because of the knowledge itself he already has. But Allah, whatever the lecturer might be saying, he can teach him more and more. But he's there being humble, never shows his capacity. That's why we have to humiliate ourselves and to be humble ourselves in the presence of those whom we are teaching. I remember Dawood al-Zahiri, for those of you who studied fiqh, there is a madhab called Zahiriyya. Very strange madhab. And I've given, by the organizers of this event, very little time, and then I came late, so I'm told, according to what was given to me, I have to finish by 9:15. Otherwise, I will narrate, I will tell you something about these entities. But let's stick to the Dawood al-Zahiri and the topic. He was giving a lecture, dars, as usual. But then somebody came to the Majlis al-Ilm, and he sat next to him. Okay, Dawood al-Zahiri, the sheikh, was sitting on the chair. But somebody came next to him. Usually students sit in front, you know. But this one came and he sat next to him. And he was mutalathim. He put something to cover his face, you know. So you don't see anything except his eyes. Dawood al-Zahiri got annoyed because this is against the adab. So he decided to embarrass him in front of others. He said, you think you are somebody? Talk about hijama. Hijama is the cupping. You know that one they put the horn, and nowadays we have the plastic cups, you know, to suck the bad blood. Very interesting thing that the Prophet ﷺ advised us to do, which many of us are not aware of this. You know, Ibn al-Qayyim said, as a male, maybe I'm too close to it. He says that,
yeah, Star Wars.
Move the speaker away. Now you close everything. And you have to add the volume. Maybe I should shout. Assalamu alaikum. I think it's fine. Yeah.
Is it clear at the back?
It will, inshallah.
This is.
No, it says it is.
No?
It is clear. Oh, you see? You add it. So now. So, Dawood al-Zahiri, he decided to embarrass him. Subhanallah, he asked him to talk about hijama, this cupping that I was talking about. Ibn al-Qayyim says, it is not appropriate for the brothers. You know, it is not appropriate for the brothers to stay for more than a year. At least once in a year you do it. Because you don't have a system in the way the sisters have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in them which filter the bad blood from time to time. SubhanAllah, I like to hear these explanations because what some people see it as, you know, in some religion actually is a curse. The menses, they see it as a curse. A'udhu billah, which is the nature of human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created people in this way. So Ibn Qayyim is explaining that actually it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them to have this. It's a system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in them which filter the bad blood. A sister can stay without doing hijama throughout her life, which is very dangerous for a brother to be in this way. He says, it's not good for you to keep those blood inside you. And also we know that blood, when you remove some part of it, it will be replaced with a good one, the fresh one. That's why research has been conducted. I was listening to one of the Egyptian medical doctors, very good person. He was saying that the research has shown that those people who are donating blood, they're healthier than those people who are not donating. So you don't have the system which take it out. So if you get the good one to do it, the Prophet ﷺ said it is really beneficial to the health and also to the memory. He said, Al-hijama to al-riqi amthal. Al-hijama, the cupping, he says, al-riqi amthal. You do it al-riqi. What is al-riqi? Do it before you eat food. I was talking to one of the hajjameen from Morocco. He told me there are cases of death when somebody eats before the hijama. So I was telling him that actually Rasulullah ﷺ said, Al-hijama to al-riqi amthal. When you do the hijama, do it before you eat food. Early morning, you go pray Fajr and then you go to them. He says, وَفِيهَا شِفَاءٌ وَبَرَكَةٌ SubhanAllah. And he said, it contained health and barakah. And it's blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَزِيدُ فِي الْعَقْلِ. And also, it is increasing the capacity of the memory. You'll be smart and able to memorize properly. And then he says, فَاحْتَجِمُوا عَلَىٰ بَرَكَةِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ. He said, therefore, when you do the hijama, do it on Monday, يوم الاثنين, والثلاثاء, and Tuesday. ولا تحتجموا يوم الأربعاء. He said, don't you ever do the hijama on Wednesday. Because he says, there is no leprosy, you know, that disease which affects the limbs, and sometimes you see the person losing his limbs just like that. The hands will become so dry, the body will become so dry, and he will be losing some part of him from time to time. SubhanAllah. Very, 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 very strong and evil disease. So Rasulullah said, usually this disease is always happening on Wednesday. So he said, don't do hijama on Wednesday because leprosy usually happens on Wednesday. So he linked it with the leprosy. And then he says, do the hijama on Thursday. So 3 days given to us by Rasulullah, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. The rest of the days, we're not supposed to do the hijama. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if you can make your hijama on one of these days, 17th, 19th, and 21st of Islamic calendar, every month in the Islamic calendar. So that means if you're choosing Monday or Tuesday or Thursday, choose the Monday that coincides with one of these 3 days. If none of these days, you know, agreed with those specific days mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you just go with the days, Monday or Tuesday or Thursday. That's it. Any Monday or any Tuesday or any Thursday. So Dawood al-Zahiri told the person who sat next to him, he decided to embarrass him. He told him, talk about hijama. SubhanAllah. He said, this man sat down properly. He wasn't sitting properly, but now he sat properly. And guess what did he do? He started talking about the hijama from the time of Adam alayhi salam. Any hadith that the Prophet also mentioned in the hijama, he talks about that. Opinions of the scholars, history of the hijama, whatsoever is related to hijama, things which Dawood al-Zahiri, the Sheikh himself, never heard of them, that man, the man was talking about. SubhanAllah. What was the conclusion of the Sheikh? He said, after that event, I told myself, I will never belittle anyone throughout my life. Because he thought this is just a normal person, not knowing that this is a great scholar. And if I'm not mistaken, that was Yaqub ibn Ibrahim al-Dawraqi, the name of that sheikh who was covering his face. But Dawood did not know. That's why we are supposed to respect everyone. Be happy when you see somebody next to you who has knowledge more than you. That's how we complete each other. So Musa alayhi salam, he told that person, he says, nobody knows better than me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an angel immediately to him, telling him, Bala, yes, there is somebody who knows better than you. Abduna Khidr. He says, our slave, Khidr, bimajma' al-bahri. And subhanAllah, look at the importance of knowledge. When Musa hears about this, he immediately told the angel, you know, talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كيف السبيل, how can I reach? Don't forget, this is Musa alayhi salam. He was the best person on earth in those days. Because Ibrahim already passed, Musa was the second best person after Ibrahim alayhi salam. But then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, there is a slave of ours, slave of mine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my slave, in the Majmu' al-Bahrain, Musa asked him, Ya Allah, كيف السبيل إليه? How can I reach him? The scholar said that shows importance of knowledge, the importance of knowledge, because this is the Prophet of Allah, and this person was not even a Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to many, many scholars, because there are two opinions here. Some of them said he was a prophet, some of them said he wasn't. Whoever he was not at the level of Musa alayhi salam. But Musa asked Allah quickly, Ya Allah, how can I reach him? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for him the way he can get that person. So I'm just trying to save the time to cut the story short. Musa met Khidr in that journey. He said, Assalamu alaikum. Khidr, look up. He said, Wa anna bi ardika salam. He said, Salam in this place? And then he looked at him. He said, Who are you? And then Musa said, I'm Musa. Khidr said, Oh, Musa from Bani Israel. He said, Yes, this one. As mean he knows him. He said, How can I help you? He said, I'm here to learn from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you of knowledge. Khidr told him, You can't. SubhanAllah. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach Musa a great lesson. He sent him to somebody who, at the beginning, he told Musa, you're not qualified to study. You know, when you go to the university, sometimes if you're not qualified, they send you to foundation first. So he told Musa, you can't. Musa said, no, I can do. He said, no, you can't. And then Khidr told him, why did he tell him he cannot study under him? He said, وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُوا عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. Wallahi, as I said, this story has a lot of lessons in it. He says, how is it possible for you to be patient of something that you don't have knowledge of? That's why the scholar said, the more knowledge you have, the more patient you are. And sometimes you fight people because of what? Because of ignorance. One of our scholars, Sheikh Yahya, once told us that it is possible for you to fight a person that you don't know. We said, how is it possible for me to fight somebody that I don't even know him, I'm fighting him? He said, yes. Ignorance can lead to everything. And to destroy the relationship between you and your brothers and sisters because of ignorance. And then he narrated a very simple and painful story that happens to him personally. The day he became the deputy rector, I think student affairs, you know, he said, I just get into the office. And then a student came to the office. And that student was my neighbor, actually, living next to me, out of the university. He said, I just get inside the office, and the student also came inside. The first thing he started was shouting, yelling, saying all kinds of bad words he can say, you know. To who? To me. I was surprised. What did I do? What kind of evil place is this? I just get inside the office, did not even do anything, and then I was welcomed by this. And then I raised up my head. I saw, oh, this is my student. And not only a student, a very good friend. And up to the moment I left him, there was no case between me and him. SubhanAllah, he said, I was just sitting down to receive all the curses and shoutings. And he said that when I was tired of listening, and the man was not willing to stop, then I look at him, his name was Muhammad. I said, Muhammad, subhanAllah, see, he heard a voice different from the voice of the one that he was looking for.
He said, Sheikh, when did you come to this place? SubhanAllah, but he was shouting at somebody, but he doesn't even know who was he. He was he fighting. That's why Sheikh said, ignorance is the source of all evils. Ignorance is the source of all evils. So Musa was told by Khidr, there is no way for you to be patient of something that you don't have knowledge of. That's why our scholar said, you want your friendship, you know, with somebody to last longer, you have to learn about that person. And trust me, most of the clashes and the fightings and the battles between the husband and wife at home, they're based on ignorance. Based on ignorance. Trust me. Because we did shallow research before the marriage, and that's why we're receiving the consequences, which are imminent. Labut, you know, you must receive those consequences. If you build it upon knowledge, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal, the consequences are going to be at the low level. I remember Sha'bi, either him or somebody else, he says, the first time I met my wife, you know, the first night they met, he said, I was going to touch her. She told me, ala rislik. She said, please, don't do anything yet. Just wait. She told him, please, I don't know you and you don't know me. We don't know each other. It is good for us, for both of us, to understand each other before we start our life. He said, he was narrating the story to his friend. He says, wallahi, ahwajatni ila al-khutbah. You know, that night people are not patient, right? They just want to see that moment. But then he says, Sheikh, wallahi, she stopped me from doing anything and she forced me to give khutbah. He said, I end up at that night saying, inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu. But subhanAllah, he said, I lived with her, her name was Zainab. He said, I lived with her for 20 years. He said, trust me, I have never seen something that I don't like from her, 20 years. He says, after 20 years, this is when the first thing that I hate from her happened, which was his mistake also. Yeah, he was going to go out of the house for Fajr prayer. You know, they don't have electricity. He perceives an insect is moving. To him, this is a scorpion. So he told her, Zainab, please remain in your place. I perceive something is moving, but I think I managed to cover it. So don't move from your place. Out of obedience, she stayed in that place. The scorpion escaped that trap and went and got her. So when he came back and found her in that critical situation, he got annoyed. Why didn't she run away? Yeah. She told him, you are the one who told me to stay in this place. Nowadays, in our houses, and I believe everyone is aware of, even if you are deaf, you know that, yes, houses of the people are not in a good shape. Almost every day you have clashes. The source of this clash is ignorance. Iwallah, ignorance. If there is a clear understanding of each other, you will never reach this position. So he told him, كَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تَهِدْ بِي خُبَرًا. How is it possible for you to be patient of something that you don't have knowledge of? Musa said he will be patient. So I will stop the story here, but just take some part of it, which will be, inshallah, confirming what we said about the importance of knowledge and also humility and humbleness in what you call teaching others. Khidr and Musa, when they get into the boat, a bird came and picked up some water from the sea. That was the real message Allah SWT wanted Musa to learn. Khidr was watching and looking at the bird, and also Musa was watching. The bird came, a very small, tiny bird. Let's get water and run away. So Khidr told Musa, he said, Musa, did you see that bird? Musa alayhi salam said, yes. You see what it did? He said, yes. He said, Musa, inni ala ilmin min ilmillah. He said, I have a knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught me this knowledge. La ta'alamuhu ant. You don't know this knowledge. Wa anta ala ilmin min ilmillah. And you also upon a knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which I don't know. I have knowledge which you don't know, and you have knowledge which I don't know. And he says, and both my knowledge and your knowledge, in comparison to the knowledge of Allah, is just like the sea, you know, or that like the piece of water being taken by that bird in comparison to the sea. The sea is the knowledge of Allah, and my knowledge and yours
is that little tiny water which is taken by the birds. What do you think? Did we reduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in anything? No. Allah says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ قُلِ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. You see, the knowledge that we're having nowadays, we even claim that we went to the moon, we do so many things, you know. Sometimes you will say, where exactly are we going? Technology is so advanced. Some of the things, if you don't see them, you will never believe that they do exist. And all of these knowledge that you see is still little. Is that drop of water in comparison, in relation to the sea? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has led us to witness events which confirm this fact. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they cut off his chest how many times? Yeah, I know you're not reading history books. How many times the opening of the chest happened? One or twice or thrice? Twice, right? Yeah, twice. When he was young, and also when they start with Miraj. Good, mashallah. Thanks for the disappointment. Yeah, I usually talk to people who are not reading history, but it looks like you are different. Thank you very much. So twice it happened. His chest was being opened. Anas ibn Malik said, I can see the sign of the threat. It's like they do the thing that our doctors and surgeons are doing. You can see the sign on the chest of Rasulullah. But subhanAllah, they just ask him to remain in the way he is. You know, when he was kid, they took him down because he would run away. But when he was adult, the angels came to his place. He said, I can see them. You know, and then they just opened my chest, just like that. He was just watching them. Nowadays, imagine a doctor just tell you, lie down and then get the knife. And they just open his chest and he doesn't feel anything. What are they doing? What are they using? It's a knowledge given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They bring out the heart. You know, they open the heart, just like that. Remove the blood and threw it away and wash it with hikmah, ni'imah, and zamzam, and then fill it with iman and put it back and close it and sew it. And that's it. And they told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let's go. Did not even need time to go and wait for the healing process. What are they using? They're using knowledge which we don't know what is that. If you're not impressed, look at the story of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Balqis, the queen of Sheba, Malikatu Saba, right? When Hudhud, the hoopoe, that bird, went to the place and he saw how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her of that big civilization, she was a very great woman in terms of dunya and power. And she has a very strong army. SubhanAllah. So he was amazed with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her. Knowing that what they have in the palace of Sulaiman is way better than what she has. But then, you know, he wasn't expecting to see something like this. That's why he was so impressed. When he came back to Sulaiman alayhi salam, he told Sulaiman what happened. And he said, unfortunately, they're not worshipping Allah. With all this, you know, these blessings, they're worshipping the sun. يَسْجُدُونَ لَشَّمْسِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Immediately, Sulaiman instructed him to take a letter to them, to tell them that on this planet of ours, created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, given to you everything by Allah, it is inappropriate and unacceptable for somebody to worship anyone other than the giver. We can't tolerate this. And Sulaiman told them he wants to see them as Muslims. To cut the story short, very beautiful story Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us in Surah 2 and Namli. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Balqis came. You know, she came to Sulaiman. When she reached the palace of Sulaiman alayhi salam, before she came, Sulaiman, when he realized that she is coming, he told the people who are sitting with him in the palace, he said, that throne of Balqis, because the bird says she has a very huge, a nice and beautiful throne. Sulaiman said, I want it here. Right? She's on the way to the palace of Sulaiman. Sulaiman said, I want the bed here. قَالَ عِفْرِيتٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِ. The top among the jinn, the shayateen, Ifrit. That person has to reach the high level of crime first for him to be called Ifrit. So he told Sulaiman, he said, أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن تَقُومَ مِن مَقَامِ. He said, I can bring the bed to you, but I just need a bit of time. I can get it here. Sulaiman said, no, we want it very quickly, as soon as possible.
because the woman is in the way, so we want her to come and see it here. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and this is the reason why I brought this story. Allah said, قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ طَرْفُكَ. SubhanAllah. The one who has the knowledge from the book. Remember here, Allah says what? He is using what? Knowledge, not magic. The one who is given the knowledge from the book. What knowledge is that? By Allah, to my knowledge, up to this moment, we did not reach this knowledge. Whereby you can bring a bed from Yemen to Palestine. Even with the aeroplane, you need around 2 hours. But he told Sulaiman, he said, I can bring it to you within the blink of an eye. He said, I can bring it to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the one who has the knowledge said he can get it to Sulaiman within the blink of an eye. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا رَآهُ مُسْتَقِرًا عِنْدَهُ قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ الرَّبِّ. Sulaiman closed his eyes and opened as he was instructed by that knowledgeable person. He said, just close your eyes and open as fast as you want. He closed his eyes, he opened it. The bed was present, the real one, not fake one, not illusion, no, the real bed of that woman. You know, he brought it to the place. Sulaiman looked at it, he says, in our language, this is outdated. We have to upgrade the bed for her. So he asked them, they upgraded it. In the way when she came, Sulaiman asked her, Ahakada arshuk? Is it your bed? Does it look like yours? Qalat ka'annahu hu. She looked at the bed, she said, yeah, it looks like the one I have, you know. Because now they make it advanced, you know. One, so she couldn't recognize whether it's the one she left or not. SubhanAllah. Sulaiman said, وَأُوتِينَ الْعِلْمَ مِنْ قَبْلِهَا وَكُنَّا مُسْلِمِينَ. You Allah. He says, knowledge have been given to us before her because we're Muslims. Whatever guidance you need, wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places in this book of revelation, either from the Quran or from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all that you have to do is to maintain this path that you're taking of seeking knowledge. You will see a lot of amazing things. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man yuridillahu bi khayran yufaqihu fi din." One of the ayat that I wanted to shed light on, but Rifat, I guess, mentioned it here, so I don't need to talk about it. But I will close with this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Man yuridillahu bi khayran yufaqihu fi din." If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for you, He will grant you knowledge of the religion. If Allah wants good from you, He will grant you the knowledge of the religion. The only way to the success and your ranking to be elevated and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring you up in the eyes of everyone is to learn. Ibrahim alayhi salam in those days was the most knowledgeable person in any sense, in any way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill all of his requests, and Allah gave him whatever he asked for. He says, وَجَعَلْ لِي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. He said, Ya Allah, I want you to keep a good remembrance of me in those people who will come after me. And subhanAllah, this good remembrance, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving those people who learn. If you go to the famous people, you know, who used to be famous, we remember them if they are good sometimes, you know, sometimes. The famous in the dunya, we remember them sometimes. Most of them, we forgot them. If the occasion, an occasion did not, you know, arrive, we will not never remember them at all. But subhanAllah, compare these ones with our scholars. Wherever you go, the name of Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Bukhari is up. Why are they like this? Because of the knowledge. Nobody knows them before. And they will be hidden in the history. Nobody will remember them. But because they attach themselves to the knowledge and they suffer and they sacrifice their life for the sake of the knowledge, look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept that remembrance in this dunya. A poet says, Al-ilmu yarfa'u baytan la asasa lahu wal-jahlu yahdimu bayt al-izz wal-karami. Please, my dear brothers and sisters, remember this poem. He says, Al-ilmu yarfa'u baytan la asasa lahu. Knowledge bring up a house that doesn't have a foundation. And ignorance brings down a house which has root and foundations. I remember one of the Khulafa, He went to Hajj and he was looking for some fatwa. And he asked for Ata ibn Abi Rabah. This man was asleep before. And if you look at the way he looks, it's a very ugly way of looking. And he has some disease. They said even the saliva is falling out from his mouth from time to time. But subhanAllah, he reaches a situation whereby yani, no fatwa is accepted unless if this fatwa is coming from him. People used to travel from all over the world just to see him. Nobody is, caring about the way he looks. But people are proud of being next to him. So this is the Khalifa. Khalifa told his son, he said, let's go and look for Ata. So the son was expecting to see somebody, you know, in a good look. Then he saw Ata. And the Khalifa was waiting for him. He has to finish his prayer first, you know, and he knows that the Khalifa was there, but he has to finish his prayer first, and then he comes to the Khalifa. So the son was monitoring the way the Khalifa was asking him. And the Khalifa was humbling himself next to him. He was very humble. You know, the children of the Khulafa, you know, children of the kings, that arrogance is there. So he was very annoyed. After they left, and then the son told the father, why do you respect him that much? He told him, because of the knowledge that he has. And subhanAllah, and the king told, the Khalifa told the son, he said, I can't forget my humiliation in the presence of this originally slave person. So that's knowledge. And that's the meaning of that poetry when he says, Al-ilmu yarfa'u baytan la asasa lahu, wal-jahlu yahdimu bayt al-izzi wal-karami. So you want sharaf in this dunya, you have to seek the knowledge. And this is the only sharaf, honor and nobility and high ranking that remains. Any other thing that you take in this dunya, trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, is going to be gone. The only sharaf, honor, you know, and high ranking that remains is that of knowledge, because even after your death, people who are benefiting from that knowledge that you kept for them will be remembering you. And that's good for you. You might not understand what I'm saying until the time you leave this life and you go to the grave, and the amount of the dua that is coming from the community because of the benefit they get will do a lot for you inside that place. And then you will see the benefit. As the Prophet ﷺ said, when you die, only three things will remain. One of them is the knowledge that you taught people and people are benefiting from it. This will be acting as sadaqah jariyah for you. That's why a poet says, there are some people who are living with us, but they are none other than the moving dead people. You know, they're dead, but they're all moving with us. And you have some people, they die, but they're still alive with us. And what makes them alive is the knowledge. Brothers and sisters, there are a lot to be said concerning this matter. However, seeking knowledge has some adab. So I'll complete with this, and then I talk a little bit about life in the university. So, has adab. Adab means ethics, manners to be observed. You want to succeed in knowledge, there are manners to be observed. And these manners are a lot. So I'm just going to be very picky to pick up some of them, to emphasize on them, which I believe is more than enough for anyone who is looking for success in this regard. Okay? They call it adab, talib al-ilm aw talab al-ilm. Number one is sincerity, ikhlas. To do things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any knowledge that you do it for the sake of dunya is going to be a regret for you when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's none other than the waste of time. It's none other than the waste of time. So your intention when you are learning should be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost. And should be, secondly, to remove the ignorance from yourself and also to remove the ignorance from the Muslim brothers and sisters. That should be your intention. I'm doing this to please Allah and to give my contribution to the community by guiding and teaching others. Your knowledge is supposed to contribute, you know, to making the community looking better. If we're going to learn and the community remain in the way it is, our knowledge will be useless. So sincerity is necessary. Without sincerity, you will never get the support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only supports those people who are sincere to Him. The Prophet said, whatever you do for Allah, is going to
be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will take that and keep it for you. If you do it for dunya, then you have nothing to get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the scholars said, one of the scholars, Imam Malik, when he wrote his book Al-Muwatta, and then so many other colleagues of his, they also started writing books like his book. So somebody went to him and said, Sheikh, you wrote a book, you tied yourself, but now everyone is writing the same thing. Imam Malik told him, he said, don't worry. He said, you will see only that which is written for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain. For those of you who are studying, how many muwatta you know? Only one. Whenever somebody says muwatta, the only muwatta you know is muwatta Imam Malik. But you have other muwatta'at, muwatta written by Abdurrahman ibn Abi Zaib. You have muwatta written by some other scholars in his time. None of them is famous. We're not saying they were not sincere, but we see the statement of Imam Malik is taking place and applicable up to this moment. Up to this moment, the only muwatta that is recognized by almost every student of knowledge is the muwatta Imam Malik. That's the result of sincerity. Whatever you do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will keep it for you. That's why they said, مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ دَامَ وَقَرَّ. Whatever you're doing it for Allah will remain and stay with you forever and ever. And the knowledge that was not done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be a regret for you on the day of judgment. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever studies something which is not so, which is supposed to be done for Allah, but he is not doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is doing it for the sake of the dunya, Allah is going to punish him because of that. And there is a hadith actually in As-Sahih where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about the first three people who will be taken to hell. One of them is a scholar. You know, a scholar, but he wasn't seeking the knowledge and teaching people for the sake of Allah. Right? You have how many types of scholars do we have in this regard? Say three. Okay, I'll give you the answer actually. Three types of scholars. You have ulama'u al-dawla. You have ulama'u al-ummah. You have ulama'u al-millah. Three types of scholars in this life of ours. You have ulama'u al-dawla. These are the ones that are not given fatwa except according to the way the kings and the people in the authority wants them to say. They just give fatwa based on that. Even if they know that this is not what Allah SWT wants, but they will still just make it like that. You have the second category, which are the vast majority, even in our time, you know, ulama'u al-ummah. Those people who are speaking in the way, you know, people are, happy with. They always try to make people happy with their fatwas, whether it's right or it's wrong. You know, I want to have more views on my channel. So I will try to avoid anything that will take away people from my channel and from my lectures. So I try to compromise a lot of things which I know that if I talk about them, people are going to stay away from me. Let me ask you this. The prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why do you think there was a clash between the prophets and their people? Almost all of them, nobody came and had an easy life with his people. None. Some of them lived with their people for 950 years, given da'wah, and nobody accepted them except a few. Nuh alayhi salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in fact, I saw a prophet, nobody accepted him throughout his life. He went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a total rejection by his people, but never submitted to them, never compromised. He gave the message fully in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to do. Why do you think there was a clash between the community and the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Because they were so against the standard way of life at the time.
Let me put it, he was right. Let me put it in my own way to make him wrong and I will look right. Because they talk about the current issues, and these are the sensitive matters. Right? Whatever people are doing, commonly practicing, if you come and hit that one, everyone is going to fight you back. But if you come and divert the attention to something else which nobody does except a few, nobody cares about you. So they don't cheat in their message. They talk about what people need in the community. Of course, they use wisdom in their message, not in the way we are doing. Yeah, because the reason why, one of the reasons why our da'wah is failing, it is because of what? No wisdom in our da'wah. It becomes so harsh. Yeah? the most important thing to me is to convey the message. Not to try my best to make that person accept what I'm saying. You know, I just want to convey the message, and I don't care. You understand, you don't understand, it's up to you. And that's why sometimes I go to you with angry face, angry mood, you know, and sometimes I raise up my voice, and I want you to understand me. I remember a story that I got from one of our noble scholars. He died, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show mercy upon him. A very simple story, but it has a lot of wisdom in it. And it is directly, you know, sent to the youth, people at your age. Because these are the people who have a lot of enthusiasm. And it's good to keep this enthusiasm, but responsible one. The one that is placed in the proper place. Don't forget, most of the things that you're talking about, most likely the people that you're addressing, they already know. They need somebody who will come with different approach in the way they can see it properly. So he was mentioning this story that I kept on sharing with people because it has a lot of lessons in it. He said, I was sitting down there in the classroom teaching them hadith. And then a boy came to me amongst the students and he said, Sheikh, you know, these old people, when you remind them about Allah, they don't take it. Sometimes they chase you away, telling you that they are older than you and they are older than your father, actually. And they already know these things. Right? It is always the battle between the old and the younger people. When you talk to an old man, he tells you, I already know this before your father is born. So he said, Sheikh, I told one of the old guys in my place, I told him, Qala Rasulullah, and he chased me away. So the Sheikh said, oh, he chased you away? He said, yes. And then the Sheikh said, I asked the student in the class, who is right, the old man or the boy? And guess, what do you think the answer would be? Of course, the boy, because he's saying, Qala Rasulullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how can he be wrong? But then to their surprise, the Sheikh said, no, the boy is wrong. Every one of them was shocked. They said, Sheikh, how is it possible that he's wrong? He's saying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this man is chasing him away, and you said, Sheikh, he's wrong? He said, yes, he's wrong. He said, I have a question for you. He said, okay, Sheikh, what is the question? He said, this boy, and the boy was there actually. He said, this boy, if he wants to marry the daughter of this old man, how does he approach him? Ah, now they started to get back to their consciousness. He asked him, he said, how do you approach him? The boy kept quiet. He says, Sheikh, I will be very humble to him. I will go to him, talk softly and gently and in a very nice way. His friend who used to support him, they said, Sheikh, he is lying. He will never go by himself. He will go and select from his family members the smartest person to send. He will not choose anyone randomly. He will go and get the smartest person who knows how to speak to go. He said, oh, you see that? When you're looking for your dunya, you know how to get it. But when it comes to Allah and the da'wah, you don't care. You don't mind to send it in anyhow. And then he said, imagine if you're applying to a university and the rector of the university is a bad person. Very wrongdoer, a dissolute person. And you write the application letter and you're supposed to be addressing the rector of the university. What do you say at the first part of the letter? Dear Fasiq? No, seriously, what do we write? Dear Sir, right? And you know that this person is bad. You know he's wrongdoer. But because you're looking for admission in the university, what do you say? Dear Sir, you Allah. It's a very simple message, but I found it the key to the success of our da'wah. Wallah, you have to be humble. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not leave this life before he gave us everything we need to do. Especially you guys living in the university, very, you know, complicated place. Trust me. And I know you know this. It's a very complicated place. It's easy for a person to get deviated if he doesn't attach himself to the good ones. And it's one of the two things. Either you give da'wah to the people kindly and make them good, or they're going to take you. Yeah, it's as simple as this. If you don't provide conducive environment for yourself to live in the place, you also are going to be, you know, taken by them. We have to take from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not leave this life before leaving with us the best of guidance. A boy came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I want you please to listen to this story very carefully. He said, Ya Rasulullah, my time is up. But he says, Ya Rasulullah, since nobody tells me to stop, let me continue. He said, Ya Rasulullah, he said, please permit me to commit zina. Yeah, that was his question in the presence of the companions. He said, Ya Rasulullah, please give me permission to commit zina. He was looking, what do you understand this to be? Disrespect against who? Rasulullah. By Allah, if he does it to a normal person, that person, you know, might lose control and punch him. But he was doing it to Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions were very annoyed. They're going to get him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. This is my question. He is asking me. And they kept quiet. He told him, sit down. That was Rasulullah. He told him, sit down. And then he told him, this thing that you want to do, he said, would you like to hear this happening to your mother? The boy said, no, I would never tolerate it for my mother. He said, how about your sister? He said, no, how about your wife? How about this? He mentioned all the sisters he can remember in his house. He said, do you want this zina to take place in them? And the boy told him, no, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet ﷺ said, but the person that you're going to commit zina with her, she's also either a mother or a sister or aunt or grandmother of somebody. In the same way you don't like it, they also don't like it. Don't you think it's inappropriate for you to go for it? SubhanAllah, very simple method. He accepted and he became one of the best people in Medina. That's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine this place. This place is not a masjid, right? Yeah. Imagine Masjid Rasulullah. Not Masjid Sanwi University. Masjid Rasulullah. A man came to that masjid and peed. In the presence of Rasulullah, he peed. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ shouted at him. And look at the words of Rasulullah ﷺ. That's why I said, whatever you need in da'wah, أُقْسِمُ billah, it is there given to you in the manhaj and the life of Rasulullah ﷺ. Rasulullah ﷺ was watching. He was shocked and people were shocked. And the companions couldn't control their mood. They shouted at the man. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now he stopped looking at the guy, now he is having issue with the companions. Why are they shouting? This is Masjid Rasulullah. You know, if you pray in that masjid, it's equivalent to praying 1,000 times in any masjid in this country or any other country. This Masjid Rasulullah, and in the presence of Rasulullah, not after he died, no, in the presence of Rasulullah, he was there in the masjid. And the man passed urine in front of him. You know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told? Them, he said, La tudhrimu. What is the meaning of La tudhrimu? Ay la taqta'u alayhi bawlahu. SubhanAllah. Scholars took lessons from here. It means, don't you ever cut his urine. Please let him continue. It means, don't cut, let him continue. Yeah, the scholar said, health-wise, actually, it's not good for somebody who's passing urine and you scare him so much. He might be urinating blood. And also, it is not good for them. Because after the event, the Prophet ﷺ told them to go and bring one bucket of water and put on the urine. They're serving him, not he go and wash it. No, they have to go and wash it. But if Rasulullah ﷺ did not ask them to stop shouting, and guess what will happen? If they scare him and the man got scared, what is he going to do? Going around the masjid doing what? I left the blank for you to fill. You know? So rather than cleaning one part of the masjid, now they are going to clean every part of every masjid. And also his aura is going to be shown, and then they will start, A'udhu billahi min shaitan, cover you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, don't cut off his urine. What did he do to the man? He called him. He smiled. SubhanAllah. Let him sit down. He said, this place is a masjid. It is inappropriate for somebody to come and pass urine in it. It's just established for salah and dhikr, and that's it. No blame, no anything. The man was so happy with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the way he went out of the masjid. He said, Ya Allah, show mercy upon me and Muhammad alone, and don't you ever show mercy upon anyone. Rasulullah had to call him back again. He said, please, the mercy of Allah is so big. Don't restrict it to me and let everyone share. But why did he say that? Because he was happy. Trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, the more lenient you are, the more the society and the community comes and attach themselves to you, and they will share with you what is bothering them. And then you will be able to fix it for them. If you're harsh, everyone's going to run away from you. And who is going to be harmed? You. You might say, my iman is protected. Trust me, a day will come, either you or your children or your family members are going to be taken from those who you used to call corrupt. That's why you have to be gentle. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do. Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami came to the masjid and he talked inside the prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not blame him. In the end of the story, he said, I have never met a scholar. He says, I never met a teacher like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanAllah, when he was in a state of comfort, he sat with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He started narrating to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what people in his community are doing. That's what I'm telling you. When the community sense an easy approach from your side, they will come to you. They will rush to you with their problems looking for solutions. If you don't, they will go and look for the solution from the wrong people, and then you will be the first person to complain that people are not using the right knowledge. But what was your contribution at the first place? So dear brothers and sisters, we're talking about sincerity, and we said the second type of the scholars, they are the ulama ul-ummah. Those people who speak in a way they believe people will respect them and people will listen to them and people will come to them and nobody will run away from them. This is wrong, absolutely wrong. It's going to be a regret for anyone who is using this path. And the last category, these are the ulama ul-millah. These are the scholars who speak based on what they believe to be what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to say, whether people are happy or they're not happy. They don't care about this because if I give you fatwa in the wrong way, trust me, I am trying to solve your issue by putting myself into trouble. Because from your side, if you use my fatwa, you're okay with Allah. Because Allah asked you to look for a scholar and you did what Allah asked you to do. If that fatwa is wrong, I will be responsible. That's why they said giving fatwa to a person without having the knowledge to give that fatwa is equal to giving him relief by putting yourself into trouble. This doesn't make sense at all. Doesn't make sense. That's why silence is always better if you don't know. Yeah? Fatwa without knowledge kills the mufti and it kills the mustafti. You remember the person who killed 100 people, right? 99 first, right? And then he was looking for somebody to guide him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he met a wrong person. That person did not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep himself according to his level. He gave fatwa without knowledge. He told him, you cannot repent. What do you expect from a criminal who killed 99 people? And now you're telling him he cannot repent. What message are you sending to him? Go ahead, continue, because there is no point of becoming good. If you become good, still you go into hell. Why does he change then? And this is exactly what happened. When he told the man, you cannot repent, he says, I cannot repent, he said, yes. He took out his sword or the weapons, he killed that person. He made him number 100. So he lost his life because of what? Wrong fatwa. Aqsimu billah. Many people got into trouble because of wrong fatwa. Wrong fatwa is very dangerous, very, very dangerous. And wrong fatwa also can kill the one that you're giving the fatwa to. One of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during one of the battles, he was badly injured on his head. So he slept at night. When he woke up, he already had a wet dream. So he has to take the ghusl for the janabah. So he asked the companions who were with him, he said, what to do? Because I cannot put water on this big injury on my head. So what should I do? They said, you have no excuse. You have to put water and wash yourself. He said, I can't. They said, no. Islamically, you have to. Subhanallah. He listened and obeyed what they are saying. So he washed himself. He put the water. The pain increases. He lost his life. When they went to the Prophet, they informed him, Ya Rasulullah, this is what happened. Rasulullah said, قَتَلُوهُ قَتَلَهُمْ اللَّهُ. He said, they killed him. May Allah kill them as well. He said, Halla sa'alu idh jahilu. Why didn't they ask when they are ignorant?
إِنَّمَا شِفَاءُ لِعِيِّ السُّؤَالِ. The only remedy for ignorance is to ask questions. And what's wrong with that? Wallahi, there is nothing wrong with that. That's why they said, مَنْ قَالَ لَا أَدْرِي فَقَدْ أَفْتَى. If you say, لَا أَدْرِي, I don't know, this is also fatwa. Don't worry about what people will say. No, you are big sheikh and then you don't know. No, let them say this is okay. But unless your side with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fine. Get it? So sincerity, my dear brothers, this is the first advice, to be sincere in whatever you're doing, in the knowledge you are seeking. The second one is the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I already know that my time is up and I've said, nobody reminded me, that's why I continue. So you came at the last minute, I'm sorry. Anyway, inshallah, I will try to wrap up this now. Can I have 2 minutes? Four? 10, inshallah. Okay, so one of these adab is the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and righteousness. Because knowledge is the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He cast in the heart of the people. And this light cannot be given if a person is committing sin. So don't forget, being in the university doesn't mean you are away from the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one that you're worshipping before the university is still the one that you're supposed to be worshipping in the university. And trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, many of us got stranded after they graduate. And I can tell you the reason why they are getting stranded. They wanted the support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the graduation. But unfortunately, they missed the cause and the target when they were in the university. Universities are supposed to be a place of smartness, place of guidance, place of righteousness. But unfortunately, we see what? The opposite. So if the university management is not doing the monitoring system properly, it is your responsibility to know that you are obliged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to live a good and excellent life according to the one who created you wants, according to the way He wants. You must make sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to hold them responsible before you. You alone will be back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He watches. And this certificate that you're going to get, wallahi, will never benefit you. That which benefits you is the taqwa, is the righteousness. All of these number of years that you have in the university, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is recording everything and you will see them in detail when you meet Him on the Day of Judgment. Therefore, my advice is to each and every one of you to be a good representative. Remember that you have a job and you have a mission. To who? First to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means you have to show Him the true identity of a Muslim who believes in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bringing benefit to the community. Because if you are a righteous person and you act righteously and you do the right thing, everyone is going to benefit from you in that university, and also the community back when you go back, they will be able to benefit from it. And remember, as I said, nothing remains for you except that righteousness in the university. Put this in your mind. Inshallah, it will help you to act in the right way. The people you are sitting with, the opposite gender, your relationship with them, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost before you go. You know, nobody says there shouldn't be any relationship, but what we are saying is that relationship should be correct. Because you won't be happy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see you in the wrong relationship with others. And we are living in a place, yes, it's a reality that you find yourself in the place, but it is not free for you to take everything. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, He says, "Ad-dunya sijrun mu'min wa jannatul kafir." He described dunya for the believers as sijin, as a prison. Why prison? Because of restriction. You don't do everything. You don't do everything. You have this risk. Absolute freedom doesn't exist in Islam. Absolute freedom does not exist in Islam. In the way you do everything without looking at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, wants you to do, it doesn't exist. And it doesn't make sense for me to come to your house and start imposing my own principles and laws. You take me to the court, you invite me back. Musa alayhi salam, when he saw somebody in his house, you know, he did not know who is that person. What did he do? He slapped him on his face. Yeah, because this is his territory. Nobody should come to your territory without your permission. And this world and the universe is created by who? By who? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you're Muslim or you're whoever you are, you know, most of the people on earth, they believe that there is a creator who brought everything and who provided everything. So it doesn't make sense for you to live in his system and not doing what he wants and think that everything is going to be, you know, run smoothly. I do believe each and every one of you here or at least most of us are here in this university and many other universities looking for success in the future. Trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, there is no way for you to have a comfortable life and to have the true success in life unless if you get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your company, in your journey when you are in the university. So remember this, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah watches you and the only thing that remains with you is your righteousness. Many people who study, you know, subhanAllah, I just recently hear about the story of a student who died not very long. He just came back to the university, you know, PhD student. And if I'm not mistaken, he was just waiting for the viva, finished the PhD. And then he died. Just like that. He was so happy that he's going to graduate, just like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his life. Yeah, his time is up. So now he's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What remains with him? His taqwa and his righteousness. He told me long ago about a sister who got straight A's in her certificate. Everything is A star. Right after she graduated, she died. They kept it as a souvenir in the room, you know. Everyone's watching. Nobody's benefiting from it. What remains with her is her righteousness and good behavior and attitude and her iman with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is my personal advice to my brothers and sisters here in Sunway University to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your learning. And I guess this summarizes who you should be in the university and how life in the university should be. And the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also will lead you to, you know, pass the good thing you learned to others who are not fortunate to have what you have. So I'm trying to wrap up. Patience also is one of the key to success. Be patient. Be patient. Be patient in your righteousness. Be patient in staying away from the evil doing. It's not easy. Wallahi, dear brothers and sisters, I do understand. And the scholars understood. And Sharia understood that it's not easy for a person to maintain his iman, especially in our time. Yeah, it's not easy for a person to maintain the iman, especially in our time. But that's how the test, you know, functions. The more patient you are, the more successful it will be in the future, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. So be patient, and be patient also when the calamity strikes. Allah knows exactly what He does, and He says the good end always belongs to the righteous and the good ones. And also be a hardworking person. Don't be lazy. I will inform you about the statement of one of the scholars when he says, "Walam ara fi uyubin nasi ayban kanaqsil qadirin ala al-timami." All of you here at this younger age, I do believe the capacity you have, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, is beyond, far beyond what you can ever imagine. But unfortunately, most of us are not using this capacity to learn. A student of knowledge does not know laziness in his life. Be a very hardworking person. And make sure that you don't hang around anyone except somebody who is more hardworking than you. Don't choose a loser to be your friend. No apology. Don't choose a loser to be your friend. The Arab man says, إِذَا مَا صَحِبْتَ الْقَوْمَ فَاسْحَبْ خِيَارَهُمْ وَلَا تَسْحَبِ الْأَرْضَ فَتَرْدَى مَعَ الرَّدِي. He said, whenever you want to have friends, he said, take the best one to be your friends, and don't you ever agree with a loser to be your friend, because you're going to end up being a loser like him. And that's a fact. They said, أَصَحِبُ sahib. Friends drag their friends, right? So choose the best one to be next to you. Those are the ones that will motivate you to be hardworking in your education. So hardworking and ulu al-himma. And don't you ever agree to be in the low level. Try your best to be number one in the university. You Allah, this is not a joke. This is what you should be doing. And it is not too late. Even in the last year, just tell yourself, this year my name has to go up. Not in the sense of arrogance, but this is what a student of knowledge should be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when he was talking about the best people in his eyes, he says, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. He said, the best people in my eyes, you know, after all of those taqwa things they are doing, and in the end they said, Ya Allah, make us a imma lilmuttaqin. You know, they don't want to be leaders for the common people. They want to be the leaders of the best in the community. They want the best people to be imitating them. Can you imagine this high determination of these people? And this is how a student of knowledge should be. Don't you ever accept a low level in your life and your education. And lastly, as I said here, I think this last one I've already spoken about it, which is about life in the university. It's supposed to be based on the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with you after
after the university. So I have other things to be mentioned, but unfortunately time will not permit us to go more than this. So I will stop here, inshallah. And this is my first time. I hope it is not the last time, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I wish we can continue until tomorrow, but unfortunately we cannot because the AC will close down.
Just be a gangster. We just continue until the
until they kick us out.
Until the security come out.
Inshallah, we'll do. If you are available, inshallah, we'll do more sessions. Now we have the QR code in front of us. If you have any questions, please scan it, and then the chef will answer your questions. But before that, can I myself ask a question? Would you allow me to do so?
Don't agree.
So, in the story you mentioned that the guy, when he got married, he said the khutbah that made him for 20 years do not argue with his wife. Do we know what that khutbah is?
Okay. It was very simple. That's the khutbah al-haja in alhamdulillah, nahmadu, until then. And then he talked in the way she wanted, because she said, I need to know who are you and what do you like and what you don't like. So the khutbah is all about him telling her who is he and what does he like in his life. And he asked her, what do you like in your life and what kind of life we want to establish in our family. And this is a very good question, actually, because many marriages are destroyed, trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, because we adopt the life of others to our life, which might not fit us. The wife is listening to her friends and she brought that kind of life to the house and doesn't fit the husband. And the husband is listening to his friends, he brought the life to his house which is not fitting him. No, you sit, you and your wife, you design what kind of life you want to live in. Don't worry about anyone. This is their personal life. You also should have your own personal life. If you let somebody come into your house, trust me, he is going to destroy your life. And nobody is to be blamed except you. These are serious matters. You know, somebody was having a very good life in his house, and then a sister came to visit his wife, and this is her friend. So she told her that your husband, please listen to this, huh? She said, your husband is a person that has a very close relationship with the king. He can just tell the king that he needs money, the king will give him everything. How come you're still living this kind of rough life? Subhanallah. The husband came back, he was saying salam, no answer to the salam. He was making dhikr, no reply to the dhikr. Whatever he said, no reply. So he realized that he's in a different house. When he went to his wife, every day the life between them was smooth and nice. But today she was very annoyed. He told her, my dear wife, what happened? She said, I am told that you have good relationship with the king. How come we are still living this kind of life? He said, oh, I understood. He raised up his hand. And he was one of those people, whenever he asked something, Allah listened to his dua. He says, Ya Allah, whoever destroyed my wife, Ya Allah, blind that person. Make him blind. And subhanAllah, instantly she became blind, that sister who came to the house to do this. Forget about this, but alhamdulillah, she got okay. He made dua for her to recover and she recovered. But look at how she destroyed the house. She was almost going to destroy the house of this person. We might not be like him. So if your wife or you accept, you know, to adopt another life, you're going to destroy your life. And those person is not good, they are not going to be responsible. So we have to be very careful. You and your family members are supposed to sit down and design the kind of life you want to live. I will close this question with this funny, short, very short story. They say what works with somebody might not work with the other person. And I want everyone to listen to this, you know, whether you find it funny or not find it funny, but take lesson from it, okay? This is a woman who is having a very good relationship with her husband, and her friend asked her, she said, it looks like you're having a very, very nice and good relationship with your husband. What is the secret?
She said, because my life is terrible with my husband. She said, I need to know the secret. She said, no problem, I will share with you. She said, my husband sells gold. And every time when he comes back with gold to the house, I try to take some part of the gold secretly. Not in the sense of theft, but I was just keeping it in case we broke one day, I can just give him those ones. A day comes, and the husband became broke. He lost everything. So he came back in a very sad mood. She told him, my dear husband, what happened? He says, we lost our business. What do you mean? He said, we have nothing. She said, no, don't worry. He said, what do you mean, don't worry? I am telling you, we lost everything that you are telling me, don't worry. She said, just wait. So she went into the house and brought all of those gold. So he was shocked because she has been saving for ages. Little by little, it became a huge amount. So he asked her, where did you get this one? She told him what really happened. MashaAllah, he hugged her, he praised her. You know, from that time onward, the life between them was so excellent. Her friend said, oh, that's interesting. I'm going to apply the same thing. She also started keeping some part of what the husband is bringing home. But then he also got broke one day. She told him, don't worry. He was mad at her. She said, don't worry. I told you, don't worry. Just wait. She went and she brought the things. When the husband saw the thing, he kept on punching her. You know. The life was messy. You know. After that, actually, he hates her more than... And guess what was the business of that person? He was selling calendars. You know, calendar, when the time finishes, it's already... So they use this story to tell you that not everything that works with others works with you. You get it? So this is a very crucial matter. Understand your family and you design your life according to the sunnah, not taken from others. Wallahu a'lam.
Unfortunately, we don't have enough time, so we'll take only one more question.
Let's ask at least 10 minutes. Yes, at least 10 minutes. Cancel the food and everything, just ask it.
Okay, so
I will be very quick, inshallah.
I've been juggling with the academic, manage events for Islamic society to the point I feel like 20 hours a day is not enough for me. Please give me some encouragement. I think this is part of our committee.
He's starting to run away, right? Yeah, honestly speaking, I believe that there is no contradiction between activities in the Islamic society and seeking knowledge and anything. It's all about time management. You have 24 hours. If you manage your time properly, look at that which is beneficial and that which is less beneficial and categorize them according to this and put them in order and do them accordingly. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, trust me, you will find a lot of free time in your life. Yeah, but unfortunately, in most instances, we're not managing our time properly. And that's why we find, you know, subhanAllah, ourselves in the middle of this trap that we're looking for more time. But the time is there. Almost every one of us is like that. And trust me, if you sit down alone and study whatever you are doing in your life, you will find yourself having a lot of free time, actually. You might be more dedicated, adding more time to the Islamic society than what you are giving. But it's all about you categorizing the activities and your affairs according to their importance and take them one after the other. The most important one first, you know, and do them and focus when you're doing them, especially the education. You're doing education, how much does it take from you? You know, averagely, let's say the university takes 5 hours from you. Right? Let's say the classes are taking 5 hours. Take 2 more hours. Trust me, if you can take 2 more hours straightforward without being distracted by anything, just 2 hours of studying every day. Insha'Allah, you will be like that friend of ours called Sanad. When I was studying my first degree in university, trust me, there is one brother, I never saw him coming with, handout, reading next to the classroom during the examination. You know, when it comes to the exam, when do we read for the exam? A night before the exam, and always we come, even they're telling you, come in, you're still trying to catch up some points, you know? Why? Because we are negligent before. Trust me, if you're going to go out of the classroom and go back home and study what the teacher told you, make sure that you memorize everything. Inshallah,
you will never need to revise for the exams when the exams comes, because things are already there. But unfortunately, we think we are too smart. What you study for 4 months, you let it remain without revision until the last minute. Why didn't the university bring you in the last minute and teach you everything? Because they know that you cannot do it. When they keep it like this, that means you should keep it also like that. If you don't, then you're going to suffer. And who is to be blamed? The lecturers always. Yeah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq. So arrange your time properly. Inshallah, you will see that you have a lot of free time.
This question is a question that I personally have, and I know a lot of us have. So the question says, please, I need your nasiha for those who want to learn the knowledge of Islam, but fear that he cannot make money later in his life.
Should I answer this question, Fateh? I was asked, my friend was asked this question actually when he was making Hajj. A sister came to him, she said, with all due respect, after you graduate, what do you do? Well, I forgot his answer, and I wish he told her working, you know. So I was asked also this question by some of the younger students. They asked me this question. They said, if you study Sharia, but what do you get in? And all of them, I guess they're studying engineering and all of this stuff. So they told me, what do you get if you study Sharia? I said, what do you mean? What do I get? I work and I get money. So I was asking them, what do you get as a manager or director? They mentioned. I said, if I tell you I get more than this, would you? They were surprised. How is it possible for an Islamic teacher to get money? And this mentality is coming because we believe that risk is attached to the certificate you have. Let me ask you one question. Yeah, to know how much is a loser, who relate risk to the discipline that he's getting in the university? Tell me one rich person on earth, those people that you point with your finger and say that these people are rich, tell me one of them who is rich because of his certificate. One. Many of them actually, they're losers. They do not even finish the secondary school. Right? The vast majority of those people who are not belittling the knowledge, right? I don't want to see you quitting the university and say, Ibrahim told us this. You know? But the vast majority of the rich people, who are they? Business people. When you go for the job, what is job? I work, and I can tell you a lot. If you don't have some extra and additional place and source of income, most of us, by the end of the month, we are what? Debtors. When the money comes, you have to pay this, you have to pay this, you have to pay this. Whereas the big business people, they don't worry about this. They go to the business at the time they want. They quit that business at the time they want. And they're receiving much more greater than us. One of our scholars said, he doesn't understand why many students are crying out. And many people, when they graduate, they're crying out that there is no job. He said, for me, a job in a company, this is the last thing I look for. He said, this is the last thing I look for. And his justification, he said, the vast majority, if not all of those rich people who are so rich, none of them is a rich person because of his certificate. They keep it aside. Allah did not connect the risk with this at all. Do you get the idea? Whoever believes in this, I'm telling you, somebody is feeding you with the wrong concept. The vast majority of the governments, if not all of them, no government on earth that is capable of providing job for all the citizens. So after you finish, you have to go and look for it by yourself. That's why when somebody from Pakistan asked me in Nottingham University, I gave a lecture, it just recently changed. He has a new life. He came to me. He asked me, when you graduate from Islamic study faculty, what do you do in this life? I told him the best job. He doesn't understand. He said, what do you mean? I said, the best job. He thinks, why? He said, yeah, I got it. I told him, brother, the best of the best on earth, these are the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have no job except this.
And then you were telling me that somebody is better than them. Do you get the idea? So the risk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being scattered in every place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the people, He put for them a lot of risk, and He did not link it to the discipline that you are having. Many of our scholars, they're very rich. We are the one who are backward because we follow the cultural practices of the people. If I drive a nice car, people think I am a corrupt person because I am not using the correct learning process. If I dress nicely, people think I am a wrong scholar. The scholars don't look like this. And this is a wrong cultural practice that we inherited from the current situation which was in there in the past. Let me give you two examples of two scholars, and you have a lot of them. In the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have extremely rich people. After the companions, you have people like Abdullah ibn Mubarak. Abdullah ibn Mubarak was a very rich person. He bought a house with 30,000 dinar. Every 20 dinar is equivalent to 20,000 ringgit. 30,000 dinar, he bought a horse. They say he was an extremely rich person. Layth ibn Sa'd, Egyptian scholar, very great scholar. They said this person's zakat never became obligatory upon him. And he was an extremely rich person. He was a friend of Imam Malik. He visited Medina one day and he sent a message to Imam Malik greeting him. He said, I'm here in Medina. So Imam Malik, before he came and meet him, he sent to him, like 1 kg of tamar in a container. SubhanAllah, you know what he did? He removed the tamar, he filled the container with gold. He said, send it back to Imam Malik as a gift for me. I said, I wish I was Imam Malik. I would send next time 1 trailer of tamar. So what I'm trying to say is, the risk is there. It is not related to the discipline you are studying. That's why I really advise all of you to change your thinking. You know, expand your thinking. Go for business rather than going for companies being under somebody. They give you futat, the one that you're struggling to live. Go and ask anyone who is an employee in a company the life they live in. Except those top ones. They also, you can see the kind of life they live. Some of them, trust me, they also live in loans. Right? The only one who is not like this are those people who are engaging in the real means of risk, which is business rather than any other discipline somebody is doing. So it doesn't matter whatever you are doing. And knowing also on top of that every single person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in this dunya, Allah prescribed how much precisely he will be getting. And he would never go beyond that. We have people in the village who don't have anything, but they're much richer than the professors. And some of them, trust me, even how to write their name, they don't know how to write it properly. But in their companies, you have professors, you have big and important people there bowing for them. So that question should be sent to those people, not somebody who is learning any other discipline. That's why don't belittle any discipline. Whatever you have interest in, just go. The Ummah is in need of that one. Bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and make you a reliable Islamic scholar. What we need nowadays is somebody who combines both. A scientist and also Islamic scholar at the same time, so that people will not come and contradict the Sharia based on what is dictated to them by the discipline they are learning. May Allah grant us good.
The next question says, I want to get married to avoid any form of sin, but I'm still in my second year of degree, so my parents are hesitating. What can I do to convince them?
Bring them next time when I'm here, inshallah. Yeah, there is no contradiction between knowledge and also marriage. Actually, it's the best to be done. When you are seeking the knowledge, you marry. That's the best. Marriage gives comfort. And the parent, it is their responsibility, but don't tell them I'm the one who will tell this to you. Yeah. It is their responsibility actually to help and to aid, especially in the time we're living now, you Allah. In the future, if you have a child studying in any university, the moment he tells you, even if he doesn't talk about that, as long as he reaches the age of marriage, actually since he's in the university, that means he's at the age of marriage.
advise him to marry, support his marriage, but at the same time also try to make him responsible slowly, slowly and gradually, so that it will not take longer time for him to depend on himself rather than depending on you. But that's the best thing to be done. I remember a father from Sri Lanka once called me. His son wants to marry, and he was going into this battle, you know, with the father, and the father doesn't want to agree. So he asked him if he can call me and talk to me about this. So the father called me, and he asked me, are you this and that? I said, yes. He said, I just have this question to you. Do you think my son should marry? I said, yes. I told him, wallahi, if I have ability and authority and money enough, no student will go to the university without a wife. SubhanAllah, I thought that was enough for him. Then he said, but you know that children nowadays, they have to do jihad, you know. And jihad, he's not talking about jihad with sword. No, they have to be patient, you know. I was saying in my mind, come on, you brought him to this place, you know, not this university, but that university. You brought him to this place where the free mixing is very high. And you ask him to be patient, and you are there with your wife. What do you call that? Greed, right? He is there, not worrying about anything, and he tells his son to be patient. And wallah, we have heard a lot of zina being happening with the people because there is no proper supervision of the parent. They're not here. And the father is there being happy that my son is overseas studying, you know, not knowing about what the son is doing. So this is responsibility, and they will pay the price when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For you, my advice to you is to be humble. Don't fight your parent, but keep resisting and keep insisting and keep advising them. And if you have grandmother, that's the best. Inshallah, you will marry very soon. Yeah. Seriously, this is one of the best methods to use the grandmothers. Yeah. Because in the time of the grandmothers, they marry early or very late, very early. They don't understand what we're talking about. Even the father himself, that's why when you go and talk to her in a nice way, but don't just go like that. Get a nice gift. You go to her, this gift is fi sabilil marriage, not fi sabilil lah. No. Go to her and give it to her. You know, that usually there is a joke between grandparent and the children, you know. Give it to her, tell her, but this is not free. I have something, I have a request. And this request is, I just want to do the sunnah. Don't say, make it like big issue, and it is a big issue. I just want to do the sunnah, but my father said no. She will give you a long story. He himself also, he married at this age. How can he tell you not to marry? I met a brother that I saw with a girl. He told me, he says, that was your advice. I couldn't convince my parent, I went to the grandparent. They called them and they instructed him to make a way. And that's how you see us like this. So this is one of the best ways. But on top of all, as I said, don't fight your parent. It's not good to fight parents. But resist in a nice way. Do you get the idea? Don't give up. Keep on resisting. And make sure that they let you do. If they don't agree, I don't advise you to marry without informing them. It's not good for you and it's not good for your family. Imagine you bringing your wife to your parent who don't want to see her. Wallahi, she will not be happy, and you will not be happy. And especially the sister side is very dangerous. Although, by right, if your parent rejects, you can go to the king. The king and the prime minister and the leader, they can arrange the marriage. By right, Islamically, the Prophet ﷺ has said, فَإِنِ اشْتَجَرُوا فَالسُّلْطَانُ وَلِيُّ مَنْ لَا وَلِيَّ لَهُ. If they all disagree, the awliya of the girl, they disagree with her, and she's looking for somebody who is a righteous person, but the parent don't agree, out of following their desire, you do have a right to go to the king, and the king does have a right to arrange that marriage, and you are not disobeying your parent. However, saying that this is your right, but that is also advice. Is it a good thing to do? No. Iwallah, it's not. Yeah, it's not. Because that person that you're marrying, no matter how much righteous he is, don't forget you are human beings. You are a human being. One day you might be doing something which he can't tolerate. What happens? He will do what? Divorce. Yeah. I know a case where the parent, they disown their daughter. That's ridiculous for a parent to say that he disowned his daughter. Wallahi, that's ridiculous. Beyond the realm of ridiculous, actually. How can I say to my son that I disown you? How does it even work? It doesn't make sense. But they do. They do. This girl marry a person, the parent don't want that marriage, and they say, we disown you. And subhanAllah, the husband died. You know, a friend of mine told me, he knows these people, he said she got stuck, she couldn't go back to the family. So she was living in a place where the friends of that friend, you know, who died, they are supporting her from time to time, whenever they can afford to. So that's why there is an advice all the time, although this is a right, but sometimes we have to be very careful. Sharia did not say you have to do, but the Sharia says this is a matter of right. But there is always an advice. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell people their right and give them also advice, which is against that right. If they don't want to take the advice, he will let them go with their right. To get the idea. So I really advise you, don't you ever go against your parent in marriage, unless if you know that if you don't marry, you will commit zina. In this case, you don't have to listen to them. But fortunately, the vast majority of us are not like that. So be patient. If nothing seems to work, be patient. What next is to fast. Yeah, but when you fast, you have to do it correctly. Don't eat too much. You have more desire when you eat too much. That's why many people say we fast, but it doesn't become effective, you know, in stopping us from doing the wrong thing in this regard. You get it? May Allah grant you good and convince your parent, and let us see you together with somebody. It's always good to come to the university with your wife. It helps you a lot. You will not do the wrongdoing, right? Because whenever you stretch your eyes to do something wrong, she will tell you, I'm here, right? Yeah.
Jazakumullah, everyone. If you want to listen more to Sheikh Ibrahim Nuhur, he has weekly classes in IIUM, speaking about the seerah of the Prophet, Hadith, and also other books. Unfortunately, we don't have the thing anymore, but we will send the picture of the classes, the timings and everything, to the WhatsApp group that we have.
Can we have a group photo?
No. I'm going to ask.
Okay, Jazakumullah everyone. Thank you very much. And see you in our next event, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Okay, thank you very much for the invite again. I really appreciate it, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with you wherever you are, to preserve you, to put barakah in your life, and to grant you patience, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love you and to make you happy in both dunya and akhirah. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.